Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
And welcome to Sawbones. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
This is our marital tour of misguided medicine. And Sydney, can we hurry this one up?
Well, why?
I want to rush it. I want to rush to the end.
Why would you want to rush to the end? This is so much fun.
I gotta pee.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all. That's good. Would you mind when you do go to pee, would you... I've stocked the bathroom with several, hundreds of small plastic containers in which I'd like you to collect your urine. Do you mind doing that for me real quick? Just pee in any one of those cups. If you could also follow the instructions I've posted on the wall as to how to sterilize yourself before, just to make sure I get a good sample. Midstream, too, would be good.
Right. So...
I just want to take really good care of you, Justin.
I go pee pee in the potty. I go pee pee in the potty.
Well, I understand that's what you've been taught. That's great, but I'm really gonna need, you know, I am a physician and I want to, you know, take good care of you too. So if you could just, you know, save all your urine for me, just all of it in those plastic cups.
Sydney, why on earth would we want to store my urine?
Well, other than for kicks, urine is really a great diagnostic tool. It's been recognized for centuries that you can tell a lot about what is going on inside the human body by what comes out of it.
Considering this is a marital tour of misguided medicine, I'm going to assume that some of the things that we have thought that you could tell from it, we're making up.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, before we get into that, I do want to thank Chris Parker and Ashley, who suggested the topic of urine to us.
Thank you, Chris and Ashley.
If you'd like to suggest a topic, you can email us, sawbones@maximumfun.org.
So let's talk about pee.
Let's do it.
Do you know what's in pee?
Pee. Wait, well, hold on. I know this. I'm not going to just be an idiot.
Come on, Justin. What's in urine?
Well, let's see. There's water. There's yellow, there's smell, and pee-pee.
All right, bad job.
Not a good one.
But even considering that, you were still like 95% right.
Hey, that's something. You got to give me that. 95%, not bad. So I got most of those.
Well, just mainly because urine is 95% water.
Okay, so by quantity, I guess I got it right.
Close enough. So in addition to water, there's urea, there's electrolytes like sodium, chloride, potassium, creatinine, and then a lot of other random organic and inorganic compounds, hormones and the like.
Now, so what's urea? I'm not familiar with urea.
It's a byproduct of metabolism in the human body. It's a waste product, and we don't need it, so we get rid of it.
Get on out of here, urea.
That's right. And it's a common belief that urine is sterile. Which is kind of a misconception. It is sterile, but it that's until it passes through the urethra.
Which it has to, right?
Obviously, yes.
To get out.
Yes.
The hole.
Unless you have a suprapubic catheter, but that's a whole other thing.
Suprapubic catheter. That sounds
suprapubic.
Like catheter.
Yes, so it does have to pass through the urethra, and there are likely bacteria in the urethra, and therefore then it doesn't come out sterile, which is why we ask for a midstream catch. Thank you. So we get those germs out of the way.
What do you mean by midstream catch?
Well, you pee a little, and then you pee in the cup, and then you finish up in the toilet.
Pee in the potty.
These instructions are posted in the bathroom at any doctor's office you may ever attend and have to give a urine sample.
Okay. I will pay attention next time instead of just peeing like I normally do all over everything, like a monkey.
Right. I'd really appreciate it, and so would our cleaning ladies, if you stopped doing that.
Deal.
But urine has been used as
no
I said,
deal. I rethought it.
I know. I'm not that naive. I know you better than that after 7 years. But urine has been used, like I said, for thousands of years. The ancient Babylonians and the Sumerians recorded urine analysis of a sort results on clay tablets. Hippocrates thought
official.
That, yeah. They, for all of history to read.
Let me just jot this down.
The you smell of your here. Urine.
this smells weird.
Hippocrates thought that the most, as far as diagnostically, the most important system in the body was the urinary system. And urine really came into its own in the Middle Ages when they came up with the name uroscopy or uromancy.
You know, a lot of people talk about some of his other books. I think Uromancer is probably my favorite William Gibson of his work. It's a tough read, but I think it's well worth the effort.
Uromancy or uroscopy was practiced by many doctors who would diagnose you simply by asking for a bottle of your urine. No history or exam required.
So, well, you would have to go to them, right?
I suppose either that or you send your urine in a bottle with your messenger boy.
And they would just look at the urine and get that?
Yeah, just check out the urine.
You know, a lot of people didn't enjoy it, but I really like Middle Ages House when he would just sit around a table with his four young doctors and they would stare at a bottle of pee.
And they would jot ideas about it up on the board. Up on, with their,
what does
with
it smell like? Pee-pee.
Middle Ages Sharpies. And
it's
then,
got lupus.
It's never lupus.
Never lupus.
But let's definitely treat them with high-dose steroids, broad-spectrum antibiotics, and then chemo.
That's house.
And then we'll figure out it was a toothpick all along.
It was a toothpick from their trip to Africa that they took for a table.
This is even referenced in Shakespeare. Do you remember what Shakespeare this is referenced in, Justin? As a student of the theater,
I
suppose you should know.
If I remember correctly, in Henry the IV, I think it was, Falstaff asked, what says the doctor to my water, as a way of asking about that, if memory serves.
Why, Justin, I'm really impressed. That's absolutely right.
Thank you, Sydney.
How did you know that?
Well, I was a theater major. Of course, I have the first folio by heart memorized.
Right.
So,
and that's definitely how you knew that?
That's absolutely how I knew that. Can you please just give me this one? This one win.
All right. Fair enough. And of course, then you know that was a way of him asking about not just his urinary health, but his health in general, because that's all you need to know.
Right. Well, I mean, I've done some light analysis, too, of these lines. It's not just rote memorization, folks. You got to dig into the text.
Really?
Find the IAMs.
Right. Sure. At the same time, this was also a period where you could use urine to tell if someone was a witch.
You could?
Sure.
Times have changed, because I don't think that would work anymore.
No, we have much more sophisticated methods of witch hunting now.
We've come so far in our witch hunting. We are strides. How do you exactly tell if somebody is a witch?
Well, it's simple.
You pee on them, and if they turn you into a frog, then they're not a witch. There. Perfect. It's fine.
If somebody peed on me and I was able to turn them into a frog, I definitely would.
Absolutely. You're not a witch. Proven. Stone cold proven.
But that's not what they would do. They would have the suspected witch pee into a bottle. Then they would fill that bottle with metal objects, pins, nails, whatever, cork it, and wait to see if the cork popped out. If it does, a witch.
A witch.
If not, not a witch. Unless you find another way to prove that they're a witch, which you probably will.
Witches have carbonated pee. Lots of people don't know that, but that's a fact.
That's part of their witchcraft.
That's science. It's the first thing they teach you at Hogwarts.
I think my favorite use of urine as a diagnostic tool is the urine flavor wheel.
Oh, man. I am into this right now. I want a urine flavor wheel already, and I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's kind of self-explanatory. So a urine flavor wheel was a wheel with different properties of urine recorded, and you could connect different sensory properties of the urine sample to different diagnoses.
So you would you could find the protein that you're having that evening, turn the wheel until it lined up, and find the urine that best paired with that protein.
And you could become a urine sommelier.
Perfect. This is a great year. A lot of tannins.
At that time, they understood that urine could be used to tell things about the inside of the body, but they didn't know exactly how to evaluate it. We didn't have like urinalysis yet or microscopy. So you evaluated urine with your senses, the color, the taste, the smell, how turbid or how cloudy or clear the urine is. So the urine flavor wheel would tell you the different flavors that your urine might have that could be associated with certain diseases. For instance, if the wheel said, if you turn the wheel to urine that was astringent, sweet, white, and sharp, sounds like a cheese.
This is delightful.
That would actually be.
This is challenging. This is challenging urine. I like this. It's oaky.
Can we have some grapes with this?
This would be fantastic. We're weird, by the way. We're weird Romans, so we love this.
This would be the urine of a diabetic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually where diabetes mellitus gets its name. Diabetes references to pass through, which is the large amounts of urine that a diabetic patient would pass. And then mellitus from honey. So passing large amounts of sweet urine.
Sweet, sweet urine.
That's right. You could also, if you didn't want to do that, you could just pour that urine on the ground and see if bugs came. Because then
okay,
that would indicate sugar.
Okay, weird old scientist. Can we do that one instead, maybe?
Let's just taste it.
Let's just give it a swig. You know that they all did, except for, like, after they discovered that trick, there was one guy who just wouldn't give it up.
Ways are best.
You know, I really think you get a better, more reliable read if you just have one more sip.
And this, this analysis of urine actually led some women in ancient Rome to drink turpentine to make their urine smell like roses, because bad smelling urine was associated with bad health.
And drinking turpentine was associated with death, so.
Well, yeah, so it wasn't a great plan.
No, kind of a short game you're playing there, ladies.
And they're hitting on things that are right. I mean, urine that smells bad could mean infection. Urine that smells sweet or certainly tastes sweet, if that's your thing, could mean diabetes. And then certainly we know that there are some foods that you can eat and tell that, you've eaten them from the smell of your urine. Asparagus comes to mind.
So if we're just relying on color, though, are there actual real life, not made up things that you can tell from looking at urine?
There are some generalities, yeah.
Did you want to share them with me?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to know.
I do. Let me quiz
What colors would you like to know about, Justin?
Quiz you. I'll quiz you, okay?
Okay,
you ready?
Go.
Dark yellow.
That's probably dehydration.
Orange.
That could be B vitamins, maybe your jaundice, liver disease, or some medications, like the over-the-counter, like Peridium, Urostat. Some people may have taken that.
Red.
Unfortunately, that's probably blood.
That's a bad sign, right?
It's a bad sign.
Pink.
Well, that just means you've been eating beets.
Gosh, Doc, looking at it in this light, it really seems to be more of a pink, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's kind of a close call there. I'd say if you're unsure if it's beets or blood, I'd let a doctor make that call.
I don't know. It seems pinkish in a certain light. Green.
You may also have been eating a lot of asparagus, or some medications can turn your urine green.
Blue.
Usually that just means you were exposed to methylene blue, certain medication you might have in the hospital.
Does food coloring get filtered out in your organs?
For the most part. I mean, I suppose if you were eating a large amount of just food coloring, you may be able to turn your urine.
And I am. I usually am.
Nowadays, we usually use a urinalysis to evaluate urine for, for protein or different markers of infections, nitrites, white blood cells, that kind of thing. Although I did once hold urine up to the sun in a patient that had porphyria to watch it turn purple.
I remember that. Those are very exciting.
Do you remember that? I left it in our windowsill all weekend.
Man, how could I forget?
You know, one interesting thing, Justin, is everybody always likes to reference how bad asparagus can make your pee smell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that only half of people can smell that?
I did not. That's fascinating.
Yeah, only 50% of people are able to smell that. So,
you know, I like the smell because I know it's supposed to be bad, but, you know, it makes me feel, I know that I've been eating vegetables. Like, it makes me proud. It's a proud smell for me.
Well, you could
I
also
eat vegetables. Like, I mean, that's awesome. Good for me.
I mean, to be fair, you would also know you're eating vegetables because you ate vegetables.
Yeah, but, like, it's a good reminder in case I stop being proud of myself since I finished eating.
Boy, my pee smells bad.
Good job.
Great job, Justin.
So proud.
Well, we've kind of covered the different ways we used urine for diagnoses, but, you know, urine was also used as a treatment.
I mean, you've got all my urine stored here. I'm glad it could be put to good use.
Right, so I can figure out what's wrong with you. I hope somebody can. And then maybe I can fix it.
Fix me. I'm ready.
So if we go all the way back again to ancient Rome, Pliny the Elder.
What?
You know, Pliny the Elder.
David the No.
No.
In every wish and dream and happy home, you will find the kingdom of Pliny the Elder.
That was my favorite cartoon.
Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder.
He's a wizened.
He advised using urine for all kinds of things. Put it on sores or burns or scorpion stings or affections of the anus, perhaps. It's not a long trip for your urine. Just okay. Work that out. Easier if you're a female, probably. You could, maybe if you didn't want to do that, you could like get some stale urine. You know, kind of like you can use stale bread for certain things, right?
Uh-huh.
Croutons or whatever. If you got some stale urine, you can mix it with ash and then just put it on your baby's bum for their diaper rash.
Hey, baby. Baby, come here. I want to try something. I got to test this medical theory or whatever. I'm going to pee on you.
I'm just going to pee on your butt, though.
I'm going to pee on your butt, baby. Stay still. You can write a book about it someday.
Don't worry. I'm going to rub some ash on it afterwards.
There'll be ash, too, baby. Just don't move, okay?
He also wanted to make sure you remembered to always spit into your urine immediately after you passed it so that you could prevent being cursed.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, obviously.
Who doesn't do that, really?
I still spit my urine.
Right. Well, I mean, you're a guy as long as you're standing there.
Yeah.
What else?
Why not?
You know? I mean,
let's
I
get all
turn around
the
and everything.
Out.
You could also brush your teeth with it.
Well, you couldn't. I mean, you could.
Well, you could.
You could.
It was known to make your teeth very bright and white and shiny. And your mouth would smell like pee.
So it's kind of a take the good, you take the bad, I guess.
One of those
situations.
That's really a situation where you don't want to eat asparagus.
It's when you're going to be seeing a lot of people, but not getting too close to any of them.
But not talking necessarily.
Great for lectures.
In the same time period, it was also advocated that you could treat a fever by boiling an egg in some of the patient's urine and then burying it in an anthill.
I mean, can we not? Can we not treat that like a medical treatment and anything other than voodoo?
I suppose that falls in that, well, I mean, I guess it's not going to hurt anybody category.
Yeah, except the ants. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is fantastic. What is this? Yeah, it smells like an egg boiled in pee. This is great. We're ants. I mean, we have souls. No big deal.
We have some standards.
We have like standards. You can't just like put a pee egg in our home.
Hey, maybe it was a diabetic and then there's sugar and then we're all good.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe they look down on the ants. I don't know, man. You go ahead. Jerry's tucking in and he loves it. I think he's weird.
Do you remember, Justin, the French surgeon that we mentioned in our amputation episode? Ambroise Pare?
Yeah, like vaguely.
That? He had something to say about urine as well.
Sure. Get it out.
So,
get out of your system.
So let's say, you know, you got to pee. Why not just go ahead, pee into a barber's basin like you do.
Right. Everybody's got one of those.
Everybody's got one of those. Keep it all night. And then tomorrow morning, in case your eyelids are itchy, you could just, you know, wash them with it and it'll help.
That is really thinking ahead. That is a that is a level of like preparation that I really can't. You know, my eyelids might be itchy tomorrow. I am gonna go ahead and pee now, so it's good and stale overnight. And just rub it on there good.
Do you know how itchy my eyelids would have to be?
Like the itchiest. Like itchier than... Boy, and also treacherous walking at night. Got up to get a midnight snack. Just watch where you step.
Mind those barber's basins of pee.
That I leave around. But we're happy to have you, Uncle Dan.
I'm never staying with you people again.
I should have paid for the Motel 6. It was very reasonable.
The French also advocated soaking your stockings in urine and then wrapping them around your throat if you had what we would now know as strep throat.
Originally called peenic.
Old peenic. Oh, you got the old peenic, don't you?
You got the peenic.
I hate that.
Seen a lot of these cases recently.
They're also over in England on the advice of both Robert Boyle and Thomas Willis, who was the richest doctor in England, you should just drink your own urine. Why not? Every morning, it'll keep you healthy.
Just
let's step it up a notch. We're wrapping it around our necks. We're boiling eggs in it.
No more.
We're rubbing it on our eyelids.
No more games.
Let's just drink it.
Let's just drink the urine. We've all been dancing around it for millennia. Let's just drink this pee.
And it continued to be popular to use urine. I mean, for all sorts of things. An Italian doctor, Leonardo Fioravanti, urinated on a man's nose after it had been sliced off during like a some kind of dispute, some kind of sword battle, some kind of display of swordsmanship.
A sword challenge.
He immediately urinated on the man's nose and then sewed it back on.
Fantastic.
Henry VIII surgeon, Thomas Vickery, he also advised washing battle wounds in urine.
Now, that would not help, right? That's the sterile thing again.
Right. I mean,
of course,
the thought
we didn't even
that...
know sterile back then. Like, we no. Didn't even...
No, we did think it would help. You know, there is some thought that the urea could help a little bit with, like, killing bacteria. But again, it's still not a great thing to wash wounds in. It also probably didn't work for ulcers, as it was advised for, or gangrene, or poisonous bites, or insect stings.
Pretty much anything.
It was used against the plague, but...
What yeah, didn't we try?
What wasn't. And then, they're also, in the 1670s, they began to collect vast quantities of children's urine, because it was thought to be cleaner, to distill it down to make a salt, and then the essence of urine was sold to... upper class women for the vapors.
You know that even after they dispelled that, there was still one guy like, you know, I've got all this child's urine. I'm just going to hold on to it. You never know. You know, these treatments go. Might come back around. Might come back into fashion.
Last year, they told us not to eat eggs. This year, they said eggs are good for you. You know.
It's so let's just keep the kid pee.
You never know.
Where else am I going to find? I can't collect it again. It would take forever.
Those parents are never going to let me into their houses again.
You know how much candy I had to give away? Crazy amounts.
This trend followed American pioneers to the New World, and they used to actually put pee in their ears and then plug them up with washcloths for earaches.
Just get a friend to lie super still. Shh, don't move.
Just, Jerry, if you could hold real still.
Just don't move, Jerry.
Really don't. You should probably close your mouth.
Just close it.
Maybe your eyes, too.
Just close anything open.
Just
not the ears.
Really don't move. Just really. Oh! See?
See, you move. That's not my fault.
That's totally on you.
That's on you, literally. It's on you. It's on your cheek.
Now, other than medical uses, you know, urine was also advocated as a beauty aid that women should wash their faces in it. It would improve your complexion.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was good for baby skin, so they actually thought it would be a good idea to just, once you take off that pee diaper, just go ahead and rub it on your baby's face.
Here you go, baby. Handle this.
Take this.
Take that.
Welcome to life.
This is what the world is like, baby.
This is what it means to be human.
This is life. Remember I did this. You'll thank me one day. You won't. But your skin won't be any different because I'm an old idiot.
And this is the first thing you're going to tell your therapist in 20 years.
No, I mean,
do you know what they did?
This was 1975. I mean, this has been thoroughly disproven. By this point.
Please don't rub your baby's diapers on their faces.
I mean, just don't.
You'll get, CPS will be called.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
It was used to clean hats. It was tried for a while as invisible ink. Urine was. You know, that might work.
Okay, no, wait. You can't try something as invisible ink for a while. Like
we wrote and it disappeared. We're still waiting for it to come back. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's something. A lemon, a candle. There has to be something to make my pee
make
appear.
Come back. You know, it was used for gunpowder, too.
You could
pee on some straw and it would rot, and then you would, I don't know, mix it with something. Anyway, it could be used for gunpowder. Alchemists tried to distill it down to make gold.
That was really, really a last ditch attempt by alchemists.
Anything at this
it's
point.
Yellow. I don't know.
There might be gold in there.
We've been trying really hard. We can't make the lead thing happen.
Nothing is working. You know, in World War I, we used urine. I thought this was interesting. Soldiers were instructed, because the enemies were using chlorine gas against our soldiers. They said, well, if you think that somebody's about to use gas, then you have this cloth we give you. So just pee on it real fast and hold it over your face and use it as like a gas mask. Because it was thought that the ammonia in your urine would counteract the chlorine in the gas.
But I'm guessing not.
No. That doesn't work. It actually probably becomes more toxic, the mixing of ammonia. Well, mixing ammonia and bleach makes chlorine gas, so...
Okay, I have a new number one worst way to die, and it is in WW1, holding a pee rag over my mouth to defend against the gas attack. That would be the worst.
That hopefully it didn't actually cause any death as much as it just... resulted in a lot of soldiers unfortunately running around with pee on their faces
and wishing for death, maybe praying for the sweet release of death.
You know, in this whole theory of drinking your own urine is actually still, I mentioned it earlier, it's still practiced some today. Alternative medicine, they call it urinopathy or uropathy. It is advocated to help with anything from increasing fertility, stimulating sexuality, fevers, yeast infections, diabetes, bladder problems, cancer, breaking down blood clots, AIDS.
Gosh, man, that sounds like it's curing a lot of things.
You know, you could almost call it.
Maybe it's almost something of a cure-all.
I think you could call it that.
Yeah, what have we learned about cure-alls on this show, gang?
Cure-alls, cure nothing.
Okay, I know people are still doing it. You know, if you want to try it, let's just keep it in a historical perspective, okay?
I should note that the American Cancer Society advises against drinking your own urine to prevent cancer.
Finally, me and the American Cancer Society find some common ground.
There has also been, urine has been used for practice in yoga called Amarali.
Is that what hot yoga is? I've been wondering.
I hope not. It was advocated by the former Prime Minister of India. Yoga.
I do itchy wet yoga.
You just pee on yourself.
You just pee on yourself.
It's hot. But the thought was that if you drink your first AM urine, it might contain some more melatonin, which is the chemical, it's a hormone in our brains that makes us, it calms us down, tells us it's sleepy time. So if you drink it in the morning, then maybe you'll be better at meditation and yoga and generally being calm.
You know, I can buy melatonin.
I would advise doing that.
You know, you if can you just need it. Buy it.
Don't drink your pee. In Mexico, there are still some places where they actually have a child. If you break a bone, they'll have a child urinate into a bowl of charred corn and then they'll make a poultice and put it on the broken bone. Not something I do in my office.
I was gonna eat that corn. God darn it.
It should be noted that there are some famous people who would advocate this. It was said that Jim Morrison, John Lennon, Gandhi all tried this. And
it killed them.
Drinking their own pee. No, I didn't say that. I don't know that it helped anything. And Madonna, she doesn't drink her own pee, as far as I know, but she does pee on her feet to help with her athlete's foot.
So you learned two things today.
I think that's just a good excuse for peeing in the shower.
Good job, Madonna. You found a way around the system. Mm-hmm. Sydney, I know that there's a lot of, we've talked about a lot of pluses and minuses. What about the big one, jellyfish stings? Is that an actual application for pee-pee?
No.
Oh, man.
No. And as a matter of fact, from everything that I have read and researched, urine probably, definitely does not help jellyfish stings, and it probably makes it worse.
Oh, man.
So, much to the chagrin of Friends fans, if you watch the show, you get that reference.
That indie hit.
Don't. The
underground.
Don't pee on your jellyfish sting. And I should note too, the Army actually recommends many, many times not to drink your own urine. No matter what kind of survival situation you're in, no matter how dehydrated you are, drinking your own urine will only make things worse. If you're really hot, you could pee on a shirt or towel or something and wrap it around your head. That's a good idea. I think we saw Bear Grylls do that once.
I think so. This strikes a chord.
But still don't drink your own pee. No matter how dehydrated you are getting, it will make things worse.
Well, I have all this pee, Sid. What's it used for? Is there anything?
We can do some things with pee. Obviously, as I mentioned, it can still be used for diagnostic purposes in many, many ways. But as far as treatment, there are hormones in urine that we can synthesize. For instance, estrogen replacement therapy, Premarin, is made from mare urine, as in female horses.
Sure.
We do use urea creams, so urea that is in urine. We do use creams, not synthesized from urine necessarily, but urea-based creams for dry skin. So that whole beauty aid thing comes from somewhere, probably. And there is, I scoffed at the breaking down blood clots, but there is an enzyme, urokinase, that's synthesized from urine that we do use to break up blood clots. Now, again, there's no evidence that drinking your own pee will do anything of that nature.
But why not give it a shot?
Yeah, all these things come from somewhere, I guess. I have to say, I know I don't give medical advice, but I still have to say that drinking your own urine is probably not a good idea.
Just know there's no call for it. What there is a call for is for us to say thank you to you at home for listening to another episode of Sawbones. We hope you've had as much fun as we have. I want to thank those of you who are reviewing the show on iTunes. People like Dumb People Suck, Cannibal Chainsaw Detective, A1F, Tom I'm a Teacher, HJ Cheerio, Bunny Foo Foo, Lumi Ineklin, Angelente, there we go, Dr. Hack, Darth Kerwin, Apisa Maria, Echiola, Coolio McCloudness, George R. Swens, JCCCCCCCC.
And Chuck, too, reviewed us somewhere on here. He's a doctor who works with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thanks, Chuck.
Dr. Clemens.
And thank you to those of you who've been sharing the show. It has been so awesome to see that. You can use the at Sawbones Twitter handle if you want to follow us there or mention the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and you can tweet at us at Justin McElroy.
And she's at Sydney McElroy, SYDNEE.
And we really appreciate when you tweet about the show, when you let people know about it, reviewing the show. Really, I read everyone and it makes my heart happy.
We've got a Facebook page now. It's facebook.com/sawbonesshow. So go give us a like there. I put out a hint for what our new episode was about this week. So you can be the first to get those if you go like the page there, and we'll be hanging around. So, you know, we can come by and say hi, have a chat.
And you should check out all of our other great Max Fun shows. What are some of those, Justin?
Stop Podcasting Yourself, Judge John Hodgman, Jordan Jesse Go, Bullseye, One Bad Mother, Wham Bam Pow.
My Brother, My Brother and Me.
My Brother, My Brother and Me. Thank you, Risk. So many. Memory Palace. There's tons. Go. MaximumFun.org. Enjoy
them. Check it out.
And make sure you join us again next Friday for another episode of Sawbones. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.